Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. With these words, the Lord Jesus began the parable of the 10 virgins. But hear how clearly Christ separated. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. What a message. Outwardly, all 10 virgins were privileged. They all had lamps. That means lamps of a profession. They were outwardly unblemished because they were virgins. And they were all waiting for the bridegroom. And though they all fell asleep, they all did awaken as well. Because the midnight cry came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And then all those 10 virgins trimmed their lamps. But lo, then, at that moment, the difference between the foolish and the wise became manifest. And there were 5 who had no oil in their vessel. And so they had darkness. They could try to trim their lamps, but no light came from those lamps. They had no oil. But there were 5 other ones, they did have oil. They did have that oil of the Holy Spirit, that sovereign grace given in their heart. And there lies now the difference. Our profession can be the same. We can be called a virgin. We can go out to meet the bridegroom. But what was the end? Those who were ready with the oil, with the Spirit. Those who were ready went in with the bridegroom to the marriage feast. But then the door was shut. The door was shut. The Bible says afterwards came also the other virgins. And even though they knocked and they knocked and they cried, "Open unto us and open unto us," the bridegroom says, "Verily," an oath, "verily I say unto you that I know you not." The wise virgins were inside forever. The foolish virgins were outside forever. And they perished in that utter darkness. Must then not the question come to you, to me, to all of us this morning? Do we belong to the wise? Or do we belong to the foolish virgins? It is but one of the two. And then it shall either be with oil or without oil. Then it shall be forever well, or it shall be forever woe. Then it shall be forever inside with the bridegroom, or forever outside with the prince of darkness. Congregation, in this morning, we hope to speak about 5 virgins, not from the new, but 5 virgins from the Old Testament. Were they wise or were they foolish? If it is well, then we will hear that from God's word. But may it now give us instruction to show what is necessary for all of us on the way to eternity. Numbers 27. The first 7 verses we hope to consider, we will only read the first one. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. The daughters of Zelophehad. Two thoughts. The humble request and the surprising answer. The humble request by those daughters of Zelophehad. And the surprising answer given to those daughters of Zelophehad. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. In the previous chapter, mention is also made of this man. In verse 33, and Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons, but daughters. So Zelophehad came from the tribe of Manasseh, and together with Ephraim, he was a son of Joseph. So he belonged unto a prominent tribe in Israel. Joseph, after all, had received the double portion, the blessing of the firstborn. The blessing of the Messiah was for Judah, but Joseph was considered to be the firstborn. And it is written in the Bible in both these places that this Zelophehad had no sons, but daughters. Now, who was Zelophehad? I mean, who was he in his heart before God? For that is decisive for eternity. He had received from his parents a very remarkable name. For what is the meaning of Zelophehad? Shadow of fear. Fear to be oppressed. Fear to perish. But you say, had Zelophehad experienced that? For it is true, when the Lord begins in the life of a person, then we will have that fear of death. Then we will realize that we cannot die, that we cannot meet our Maker. Oh, then everything in our life is like a shadow. We realize we swiftly travel, but everything is darkening. Oh, Zelophehad had such a remarkable name. But had he learned that name experimentally? And now read verse 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son, and then of the tribe of Manasseh. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, and Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tirzah. And also in that previous chapter, these names are especially written by the Holy Spirit. And if we now trace those names, which were given unto these daughters by Zelophehad, we learn something about the life and the heart of Zelophehad. Because he called the first one of his children, his daughters, Mahlah. And that name means infirmity, weakness. And see, that was now the testimony of Zelophehad. You say a little child is born, do you have to give it that name? That is how it was in his own heart. He feared that he had to die indeed. The Lord's Spirit had shown this unto him, and he could not meet the Lord. Oh, then his own name came back, and it was a shadow of fear, because he would have to perish. He could not stand before the Almighty God. And when he then saw his daughter that he had, humanly speaking, brought into the world, then grief filled his heart, because that also was such a frail child. Because really, we may appear strong, but in a moment's time our breath is taken away, and then we die. So then there comes a grieving of the heart, and also his child would have to die. The first one was called Melah. And after some time, the second daughter was born, and he called her Noah. And now that name Noah points to wandering, to going astray. And again, therein is something revealed of the experience of Zelophehad. Because he had not asked for the Lord, but he had turned away from the Lord. And in that name Noah lies then contained that there was no help, and there was no comfort, and there was no deliverer. And Zelophehad had experienced that, and it was his own fault, because he had turned away from the Lord. He had learned that there was no desire in his way after, in his heart after the ways of the Lord. Oh, and then he would have to die. That shade of fear, that death, that perishing, that weakness, that infirmity, and then having no helper and wandering away. Oh, how could he ever get saved? Are there people who understand this in their heart? And then the third daughter was born, and her name was called Hoglah. And then it became evident in the testimony of that name that the Lord had come over with his grace in the heart of Zelophehad. Because that name means turning about from joy. A turning about from joy. It also has that meaning in it, that dancing or that skipping for joy. So the sorrow in the heart of Zelophehad had turned into gladness. There had come a different turn in his life. The comfort which he had missed before was now granted unto him. And in the Old Testament, that was by the Spirit directing the eye towards that promised Savior, the Savior who alone could help and would come to help also Zelophehad. So now it was good and easy in the soul of this Zelophehad. Oh, the people of God have a life of up and down. But when there is opening, oh, then the clouds disappear. And they can sing sometimes. A fourth child came. A fourth daughter, Milcah, that means queen. You know what was now in the heart? The instruction had been given to Zelophehad that the children of God are the children born again in Zion. They are now that spiritual family. They belong to that royal family because they are children of the King of Kings. That is a wonder that there is then a Milcah. And finally, the fifth daughter is born. Tirzah is her name. That means acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. And in the Song of Solomon, you also find that name. that the bride is compared unto Tirzah, and that shows the beauty and the grace, the delight that the Lord has in his people, because he clothes them with beauty. And then he delights and wants to display that beauty also for the world. So in the names which Elophi had given unto his, five daughters, we can trace what had happened by the Spirit in the heart of Zelophehad. They testify of the leadings of the Spirit and the grace of God given in his heart. So these names were an acknowledgement unto God what he had done for him. Can you now follow those names? Can you now also trace that course in your own life? For that is indispensable. What do you think, fathers and mothers? What had Zelophehad now done for those five daughters? What had he been busy with? Oh, surely he had prayed for those five daughters. And in all his simplicity, he had tried to instruct them. He had tried to stir them up and show them that the service of the Lord was so good. So these five girls, these five sisters, the daughters of Zelophehad, were privileged with a God-fearing father. And a God-fearing father who not only knew about his sin, but also about that grace. About the hope that the Lord had given him for eternity. This was a man who lived close with death and close with the Lord. Oh, children, young people, do you have such a father? Do you have such a mother? What a privilege do you then have? But what about these five daughters? Did they then also have grace? Grace is not inherited, no. Grace will have to be freely and sovereignly given. But the prayers that are sent up are sometimes answered, perhaps even later. And the Lord gives unto them that sign of the covenant. And not that that sign is saving, but therein the Lord sometimes will show that he continues that golden thread of giving grace at times from generation to generation. We read in one of the Psalms that instead of the fathers shall be the sons. We can also say instead of the fathers shall be the daughters. The children, and instead of the mothers, if the mothers are God-fearing, yes, then that is also the case. Now the chapter begins, then came the daughters of Zelophehad. When was that? What was the occasion? We can read that in the previous chapter. The people of Israel were not yet in the land of Canaan. King Balak of the Moabites had called Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. However, the Lord would not let Balaam curse the children of Israel. He had to bless them. However, at the end, just when he left, then he gave wicked counsel unto Balak, and he said, make a feast unto your idols. And thereby you try to allure the children of Israel, and that will make the Lord their God angry. And what do we read here in chapter 25? And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. That was the time that had just happened before. And when the Lord was angry, then 24,000 of the children of Israel were slain. Because the Lord commanded that the heads of the people who were busy leading the people astray to that idol worship had to be slain and hanged. And they were. And then there was Phinehas, a priest, who took a javelin, and there was one wicked man. And he was in the tent, and he thrust him through, and then, in wrath, the Lord remembered mercy. It was a solemn time. The judgments of the Lord had come upon the children of Israel. Then came those daughters of Zelophehad. And they had learned that they were not any better. They had been preserved from going along. But it is a people that find out the Lord has to keep them. Because in their own heart are all the seeds of wickedness. You know what such people learn? Adam was deceived. Eve was deceived. And I am so soon deceived by that alluring voice of the world or of the devil himself. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad. There was a second thing which had taken place. And we read that in chapter 26. Then the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, from 20 years old and upward, throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. So all those that are 20 years and older had to be counted, all the men, for they would be able to go to war. In congregation in verse 53 we read it, unto these, all those that were reckoned, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of the names. However, what did we read in verse 33? Zelophehad had no sons, but daughters. So what did this now mean? According to the law, the commandment given by the Lord unto Moses, there would be no inheritance for these five daughters of Zelophehad. They had no part, no lot in the matter. In other words, they stood outside. They stood outside. Oh, they had observed the Lord's doings in the wilderness. They had also eaten of the manna which had fallen day after day. They had heard of their father from the deliverance out of Egypt and the great wonder that the Lord had done at the Red Sea and how that the Lord had spoken from Mount Sinai. What did they see every day? The tabernacle in the midst of the camp. And the altar smoked because the sacrifices were offered unto God. They saw themselves that Shekinah, that pillar of the cloud. And at night that was the pillar of fire. And so they were greatly privileged. And they had heard the instructions of their father Zelophehad. They had heard of God's mercy, but no inheritance. No place in Israel. They learned with grief that they stood outside of everything. If the Spirit comes to convert this congregation, that is what he teaches. Not that we are converted, but unconverted. Not that we belong, but we do not belong. We stand outside. And we have no inheritance for eternity. We have no place. We have no right whatsoever. And then it can be as these daughters of Zelophehad, that you cleave unto the Lord, that you have a high regard for the people of the Lord, and that you say they are so blessed, and that is true. But for yourself, you miss everything. For yourself, you stand outside. For yourself, you say, how must it go on the way to eternity? That is a people with a heart that is yearning after God. When shall I come to stand before thee in thy temple, in that tabernacle, and adore thee? They have a love to God, yes. And they have a love to that promised land, because that showed them what that promised land in Canaan above would be. And yet the command of the Lord was against them. The inheritance is for the males, is for the sons, and you are daughters, you are not sons, so you stand outside. Could they then blame anyone? No. They found the fault in themselves as unworthy ones. And such is now the grief and the sorrow. Such people begin to bow under God. These five daughters of Zelophehad at this point had no father to help them. He had traveled to that better country already, and they knew it, and they believed it. They had no brother to stand up and speak for them. They were orphans. They were alone and they were forsaken. With all their privileges, they could not go one step further. And see, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And where do they now go? Verse 2. And they stood before Moses, and Eleazar the priest, and before the princes of all the congregation. That's where that council gathered, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Oh, these five daughters had no rest. They did not say, well, the promise is not for me. And I am outside, so I just wait and see what the Lord will do. No, they had no rest. Because they had a need that was wrought in their heart by the Holy Spirit. And so they have to go and ask for help because they cannot help themselves. They look at the privileges in their life to no avail. They go to the fact that they had a prominent tribe, and that is to no help, for no help. And they had a God-fearing father, and he could not bring them into heaven. There is only one place in the way of righteousness. They go to the judges. They go to Moses, then especially congregation, because their case must be judged. And they stood before Moses. He is the one that is mentioned first. And who was Moses? They knew that. Because he was their leader, yes. They were born and raised at that time. That Moses was their leader. And they heard from their father undoubtedly that Moses was in Egypt. And that the Lord gave in his heart a choice that he would rather be afflicted with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin and all the prominence in the land of Egypt. Oh, they had heard about Moses, that he had come and was the deliverer, and that he led the people of Israel also through the Red Sea and the wilderness, and that many times the people slandered him and reproached him and spoke evil against him. And nevertheless, what did Moses do for that people of Israel? Time and again he went to pray. Even though they had ruined everything with the golden calf and at more occasions, then he was the intercessor for that guilty, unworthy people. And see, now greater than Moses is pictured by their leader. Because there was one in heaven and he said, Father, I will go. I will do thy will. And I will go. That was his choice. That was his willing choice to that people. That was nothing but a rebellious race. To a people that was not willing to bow, except the grace of God would make them to bow. Oh, and then that mediator, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, he came to seek and to save what was lost. And then he came to merit salvation and also to grant that salvation. Oh, then he was for that people their chief prophet and their high priest and their eternal king. But what did now that greater Moses show? That he had the poor and needy and he will save them. You see, and God's servants in a measure also do the same work. That they come with that word and they pray for that word. But this is now Christ, that greater Moses. That is then the mediator of a better covenant than Moses ever did. Oh, congregation, there comes a need in the life of those people that stand outside for him. They cannot bring themselves inside. They cannot ever reconcile themselves unto God. And what do you have then in the life of that people? There comes a fleeing for refuge unto that greater Moses. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad and they stood before Moses. There you have it. That is what we need on the way to eternity. How blessed the man whom thou hast chosen and drawest nigh to thee. Oh, that is now the sovereign work of the Lord, because he draws them to himself in his love. And they went to Moses, and remember now, just before this, they had heard from the mouth of Moses the curse and the blessing, and they bowed under that. The curse they deserved, the blessing they desired. And they go unto that, to that Moses. Oh, and now it was the duty of the magistrates. Psalm 82 tells us that among others. To deliver the poor and the needy. To do justice to the widows and to the fatherless. And what else is but the delight of Jesus that the poor and needy he will save. That he will come and help the fatherless. Ah, congregation. Do you know this way? Do you know that place? The same thing that had been wrought in the heart of these daughters of Zelophehad. They had no right. They are outside, yes. They were so outside. And then they could have no claim. And they could say nothing that they should be deserving anymore. And they had no portion, and they had no inheritance, and they had no protector. All alone. Oh, it is a people, yet with a fervent desire that cannot be denied. With their heart that longs and that yearns for that only mediator, that the Lord might be their portion and the Lord might be their protector by day and by night. And here, listen, they stood there and they begin to speak. Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sins. Congregation, their father was not among Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and that was good. But then it is not well. And these daughters are so honest about their God-fearing father that he died in his own sins. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all shall surely die. But they cannot boast then of their father. Our father was a sinner by birth, by practice, and therefore we are sinners by birth and by practice. Our father had to die and did die. We have to die also, for we are evil, born in sin. That is the confession about their father. But then they raise a question. And how do they do that, congregation? Oh, we read that they speak so humbly, and they speak respectfully, and they speak also modestly. They speak sincerely. What do they say? Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he has no son? They say Moses, our father, had the inheritance, the promise for that inheritance, because he belonged as a son to the tribe of Manasseh. If he were still alive, then that portion would also be allotted unto him. But now he is no longer here. And now if his name shall be done away, then his name shall be blotted out of Israel. That means the inheritance is lost for us. That means we are lost. No eternal inheritance. That means we are lost forever and forever. And see, that is now their aiming. In all humility, in all sincerity, it is the need of their heart that they might receive not an earthly, but an heavenly inheritance. What do we seek? What are we busy with here in this life? The yearning of these five daughters. And they were knit as five, you could say, wise virgins. We understand that already now. They wanted to have communion with God. They desired the favor of the Lord. Oh, and there they come. Give unto us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. That is not a demand, but that is a humble request. Because they cannot miss the Lord and they cannot miss his favor. And notice, they are still outside. Yes. And the people of Israel had not crossed into Canaan. But what do these five daughters now say? That inheritance will be given to every male, every son. So they believe that the promise of the Lord made to the people that they shall receive inheritance, yes, that is true, and they do not doubt it. That faith was in their heart. The Lord will fulfill that promise. But we do not have the promise. You see how close it came, and what grief and pain that was in their heart. They missed that promise of salvation. And yet they believed it would be given. That's how it was for these five daughters of Zelophehad. Is that so for you? Is that so for me, congregation? Are we now one of the Lord's people? Do we have a place among them? which was precisely what these daughters of Zelophehad had desired. Oh, these were five wise virgins indeed. They asked for mercy. They asked for grace. And they desired that a portion would still be given unto them. No promise could they plead. But here they stand, unworthy, empty-handed, undeserving. But Lord, is there yet? They do not say a large portion. That is a people that becomes glad with a crumb of grace, with a smile from the Lord. Come, you know how it is in the heart of such. We sing, and you can hear it.